Testament reading is from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible to God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
Where is my Father when we are singing his favourite hymn? And it is a hymn that picks up on today's theme in our series on spiritual disciplines. When we talk about the saints or the spiritual directors or mentors or spiritual friends, or as we prayed in the call to worship, simply wonderfully encouraging people who have accompanied us on our spiritual journey or helped us to grow, or as Eugene Peterson writes, have been attentive in our lives, attentive to God, or attentive to God in circumstances or situations, who have noticed the invisibilities in and beneath and around the visibilities, who have listened for the silences between the spoken sounds. But what do all these different terms, mentor, spiritual director, spiritual friend, what do they all mean? Firstly, mentoring. In the ancient Greek epic, the Odyssey, mentor was the friend of Odysseus, who placed him in charge of his son, Telemachus, when he left for the Trojan War. And for this reason, his name has become synonymous with someone who imparts wisdom or shares knowledge with a less experienced colleague. Mentoring in the Christian context is about sharing someone's faith journey in order to help them grow spiritually. There is usually an intentionality and an accountability in this relationship, with specific goals for the person being mentored. We might also use the term discipling for this kind of relationship. Secondly, we have spiritual direction, which is perhaps poorly named because it is less about being directed to do something or to become something, unlike mentoring, and more about a process of discernment, where a spiritual director helps someone, as we said earlier, pay attention to what God is doing or saying to them in their life, to understand their deepest desires, and to discover how they are being called to serve. There are lots of images like this used for spiritual direction to say that this is a conversation with three participants, or a time of listening, perhaps, with three participants: the director, the person being directed, and God. And it's usually a process where the director does not speak about their own life, unlike mentoring, where a mentor often shares their own experience. However, as Marjorie Thompson points out, there are also other forms of spiritual direction where two Christians who trust each other's ability to be attentive to God may enter a mutual relationship of guidance. And there are more informal forms of spiritual guidance that we might just call spiritual friendships, where, as Thompson says, you simply have a friend who you enjoy talking to about spiritual matters, or someone you turn to for comfort and assurance in times of perplexity and doubt. Someone with whom you can pray. And thirdly, there is counseling, which is usually focused on a specific problem in someone's life: self-image, relationships, or work issues. While such problems may be encountered during Christian mentoring or spiritual direction, they're not the focus of these, which are centered on developing Christian character or discovering what God is doing in someone's life. In a mentoring or a spiritual direction relationship, if a counselling problem arises, the person may be referred to a counsellor for that specific care. I must confess, however, that I was finding this subject and this chapter rather dry until I heard Monday's reading from Pray As You Go, which we read this morning. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. There are moments in our lives when we, like Mary, are perplexed by the words of God to us, where we ponder what kind of interaction God wants to have with us. Thompson suggests that some of us might say something like this: "I believe in God, and sometimes I think about God, but I don't know if I've ever really experienced God. I'm not very aware of God most of the time. I'd like to be, but I'm not sure how to make it happen. I'd like to talk to someone about this." Or, "God has taught me a lot over the years, but I'm too sporadic with my spiritual disciplines, even though I know how fruitful they are. I'd like to covenant with someone who's been on the journey just a little longer, just to encourage me and make me more accountable." Or, very much like Mary, "I'm in transition right now. All the things I thought were settled are shifting." I might have mentioned before the singer-songwriter Ken Medima. Growing up in my family, we were big fans. And he has written a song from the perspective of Mary, immediately following the Annunciation. This is just a reminder to go see the Pre-Raphaelite exhibition at the National Gallery. But if you can cope with a little bit of musical theatre, the song goes like this: "So many things are happening to me that I don't understand. Visions and angels, a baby named Jesus, it's not what I planned. Plans I made are like birds' nests blown down in the wind and the rain. I'm scattered like straw, and I can't quite tell where to find sameness again. Sameness again." And so in the verses that immediately follow our reading, we're told that Mary goes with haste to seek the company and counsel of her relative Elizabeth. In Medima's song, she sings, "I'll go tell Elizabeth, she'll understand. I'll go tell Elizabeth, she'll hold my hand, she'll understand." And Elizabeth acts for Mary as a spiritual director, or, if I can add another term, as a midwife to the work of God that is taking place in Mary's life. In this chapter on spiritual direction, Thompson lists the central criteria for people from whom she would seek spiritual guidance. One of these is that they are attentive listeners, able to discern God, as well as listen to the person they are with. But another is that they are understanding. Look for Christians, Thompson says, with a wide-ranging experience of life and faith, who are knowledgeable about the ways of the human heart and have an eye for discerning the footprints of God. Elizabeth has a wide range of experience of life and faith, from being said to be barren to being with child at this point in her life. She is able to discern God's footprints, ironically and intimately, from the kicking of the child in her womb. And she discerns what is in Mary's heart, speaking to her the words of faith and hope that she needs to hear. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord, she says. 17 or so years ago, a woman that many of you know played a role like that of Elizabeth in my life. I was feeling much perplexed by what God was doing in my life and fearing that what I had thought, that what had been spoken into my life would not be fulfilled. And she said to me that God's activity in my life was like the pregnancy that I had just announced. At that moment, there was very little visible sign, but that did not mean that nothing was happening. In the same way, God was very much at work in my life. And I hung on to those words of hers. They were a lifeline. She helped me notice the invisibilities in and beneath and around the visibilities. A third criteria Thompson lists is someone who knows human suffering and frailty from personal experience, who is honest about his or her limitations and not afraid to be vulnerable. I've been reading another book recently which explores how childbirth and midwifery are used as metaphors in the Bible and in our lives. And it speaks of the moment in almost every birth where the woman in labour does not believe that she can keep going. I clearly remember this in my first birth, telling Aaron and the midwives that I just did not want to do this anymore. I didn't need to have this baby, and I just wanted it all to stop. What is spoken to the labouring woman in the moment when she feels that she cannot continue is crucial, the book says. In the same way, we need spiritual guides who understand human frailty, who can look us in the eye and remind us also of our strength and of the value of what is being born in us or through us into the world, who can tell us to hold on. One of the final criteria that Thompson mentions is having a mentor or a spiritual director or a spiritual friend who places their trust in God, who is not dependent on their professional competence or confidence, but is waiting expectantly for the Holy Spirit and who is able to generate this expectation in others to bring about the transformation that will come. Mary, the text tells us, stayed at the home of Elizabeth for 3 months. Most scholars say that she stayed until the birth of John the Baptist. That having had trust and faith midwifed in her by Elizabeth, she in turn helps midwife Elizabeth's birth. In the same way, we are empowered by spiritual direction to bring life to birth in our own lives and for others, to respond to God with greater freedom, Thompson says, to live more faithfully and more compassionately in God's world. Medima's song finishes like this. So many things are happening to me that she'll understand. For now that she's pregnant, her life isn't going exactly as planned. The plans we both made are like birds' nests blown down in the wind and the rain. We're scattered like straw, and we can't quite tell where to find sameness again. Sameness again. But I'm coming, Elizabeth, 'cause I'll understand. I'm coming, Elizabeth, I'll hold your hand. I'll understand. Who is the Elizabeth in your life? Or is it a Paul or Jethro, a Priscilla or a Naomi? And can I encourage you not only to think of those who have midwifed and directed and befriended and mentored faith in you in the past, but about someone who might continue this in the future? Thompson tells us to pray about this, asking God to guide us to the person that we need, perhaps someone we don't expect. There are many more practical details in this chapter about how to go about structuring spiritual direction, what to talk about, but we are encouraged not to go it alone on the Christian journey. As our psalm said, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God is our counselor. But as St. John of the Cross wrote 4 centuries ago, God has so ordained things that we grow in faith only through the frail instrumentality of each other. May we find joy kicking inside us as we midwife for others, or as they midwife for us, and we together bring life into our world. We are singing For All the Saints.